You are listening to The Business Wilderness, the voice of entrepreneurs. Welcome to The Business Wilderness. My name is Ahmed Al-Houli and today I have a very special guest with me, Miss Nancy Yusuf. Nancy, welcome to The Business Wilderness.
Thank you, Ahmed. So great to be with you guys.
Nancy, thank you for joining me. Take me back in time, Nancy. Where did it all begin for you?
Well, it started many moons ago, but it started really on an accounting and finance path. And I early on had an early life crisis is what I call it. And I ended up leaving the accounting and finance world and going into fashion design. I went to school in Milan. And at that time, which was about 15 years ago, not that I want to date myself, but about 15 years ago, I studied fashion design and I created at that time a plus size line and sort of shelved it after I graduated. I took a detour and ended up in international development. So I helped retail companies take their brands overseas. So whether that was companies that were in Europe or the US or Asia and wanted to go into the Middle East or vice versa, any companies that wanted to come into the US, I ended up finding myself in the U.S., running the international division for two publicly traded companies here in the U.S., Genesco and DXL, and helped them bring their brands all over the world. So it's been a really windy road, but about 2 years ago, I started thinking about really the next steps and where would I go and the next direction. And as I reflected on my history, I found that I already had been involved in this space, and that was when I was in design school. As I mentioned, the plus size line that I created was really the impetus for me starting Curves with Purpose. And Curves with Purpose is really a fashion movement in the plus size community. So it's curating a global assortment of brands and bringing together styles and fits for the curvy size lady. So from, you know, sizes small to 3X or a US 28. So we really cover the whole gamut, and it's really just empowering women, giving support to women who are shape diverse and otherwise wouldn't find product in this space.
Wow, interesting. Definitely different. So you go on, I mean, the fashion industry usually gravitates towards the smaller sizing, that perfect figure and so on and so on. You decided to go quite the other way.
Yes. It was really a space that was needed. There are a lot of great fast fashion companies that are growing in this space. There are a lot of high-end companies that are growing in this space. But the in-between, so what would be the equivalent in the U.S. of a Nordstrom or a Macy's or J. Crew, if any of those brands are familiar, there was a lot of white space in that area. And so we decided to create a platform that really helped bring these brands together so that women had choices and options. Prior to this, there were really not many choices and not many options.
Awesome. Makes sense. I'm sure this space would have come across a few, I mean, not hurdles. Of course, there's hurdles in everything you do, but it would have raised a few eyebrows. People would have looked at things very, very differently. Like, what are some of the hurdles, controversies that you guys faced when you sort of went to market and said, yeah, we're launching this?
Well, excuse me. One of the first things that people said was, well, you know, brands don't make product for this market segment. Where are you going to get product? What are you going to do? How are you going to bring together enough of an assortment? And who's going to buy it at the end of the day? Well, statistically, in the United States, 67% of the U.S. population is a size 14 or higher. You might be interested to know that outside of the United States, the next country with volume in that space is Canada, and the one that follows is actually Australia. And so the market segment globally is there. And our challenge is we're really finding product that was cut and created for the curvy sizes. And when I say that, I don't mean, so to your point at the very beginning, you talked about the market segment really goes after that smaller size range or what they call the standard or straight sizes. Well, those brands have tried to take those sizes and just make them bigger. The reality is this segment of the marketplace, it's a different figure. It's a different shape. It's diversity in the shape. And so the clothing itself had to reflect that. And it was finding product and creating product that is cut for the curvy ladies. And that was probably our biggest challenge. And getting the messaging out there and getting the messaging that it was all size inclusive. So we carry all sizes, small through 3X. We focus on the plus size because it's really the market segment that is in so much need of this product. But it's telling the story and telling the journey of these ladies and sharing the community and the support system, because for so long they would walk into any store or department store and that market segment would have clothes in the back corner, you know, sort of near the bathrooms. Well, no, it doesn't have to be that way. You can come in with any girlfriend, with any friend, with whoever, and you're all shopping in our space in the same place.
Wow. Awesome. Because, I mean, when things occur or pop up that aren't usually a part of society and what's going on day to day, they always raise eyebrows. So I was interested to hear some of the feedback that you guys received. Moving on, there's we were chatting before about an email that you got, the retail apocalypse. I mean, Do the retail struggles apply to such a unique space?
Yes. As it is today, competition is definitely growing, and there are a few really well-established brands in the marketplace. I think what we're seeing in this space and in the industry is that retailers, whatever their size, whether they're entrepreneurial or have been around or publicly traded, really have to shift the thought process in becoming more customer-centric, more engaging on a one-on-one conversation, and really just having an entrepreneurial spirit about them. Where we may have lost our way was we became so mass market in so many different segments that people didn't feel like it was a unique experience. And I think one of the most important trends that we're seeing and patterns in retail is an experiential moment. So, you know, one of the things that we do, while we are digitally native, meaning that we're online first, we do create pop-up shops, we do create events, and in the industry, and the trends are that people want to feel like this is made for me, someone is listening to me, they're having a conversation with me. So really going back to that entrepreneurial spirit, to this stores when they first started out where customer service was key, where the customer was the center of attention. And that's really where the industry is going.
Awesome, awesome. Which seems to be a bit of an issue nowadays with most retailers. They sort of forget to humanize the process and include the human aspect of things in every single stage of their consumer journey. It's almost like people are selling the robots because they're selling online through different marketplaces and so on. But they forget that at the end of the day, the person who's or the individual who's going to purchase that product is a human being himself. So
that's exactly.
Yeah, and that's why I asked that question, because so many people forget that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm dealing with a human being. What would he think? What would she think? How would they go about it? How would they shop? So, interesting. So now you guys have got a nice, you guys are all set up. You're doing pop-up shops. You you ship internationally, so on, so on. How are you guys building an audience? How are you guys building this movement?
We're really one of probably the greatest asset is that we really tell people stories. So we share journeys, and everybody is on a journey. But this particular market segment, and for us, our fundamental values are that we share a community, and that we help people have an outlet where fashion for them is making a statement about their personality, about themselves, and really a self-empowerment movement. And through that, we're able to do that by connecting to what we'll call influencers, but they're really people that support the mission and support the brand. And part of our purpose and part of our ethos is also a charitable component. It's really significant to us. It's important that it's not just a clothing company that's selling, but it's also one that's giving back. So everything that we do, whether it's online, whether it's in a pop-up shop, we are sharing and giving back through shoe collections, clothing collections, donating a percentage of sales, whatever it may be. And so we're creating a movement of people not only telling their stories and feeling empowered to share their stories and their struggles. I had someone come into a pop-up shop that we did, and I happened to be there, and she was coming in with her daughter who was getting married, and her daughter was very upset and, in fact, teared up and was very emotional in the store because in the group of her wedding party, she was the biggest woman in the wedding party, and she was so sad because she couldn't find clothing that fit and was great quality and really was going to make her shine on her day and her week. And she was so thrilled to come in and find our product and find our collection and the warmth and the reception that she found. It wasn't the, okay, go to the back of the store, that's where you belong. It wasn't that, of course. It was welcome and we embrace you and we're happy to help you whatever that journey is. And if it doesn't work in a few months, bring it back and we'll find something better for you. And, you know, we're together on this whole path and this journey. And that's really what is the most critical is that we are together, whatever happens, you know, whether it's items don't work or you want to share your life story or we're sharing what we're doing. It really is a movement of being together and being telling the stories of everybody. And I think that's the most empowering part. And people feel like they're helping grow this business and they're helping be a part of it by either giving back or making a purchase or just sharing what they love about themselves and what's going on in their lives.
Wow. Life-changing, really. Absolutely. Where are we going forward? What does the future behold?
I think we continue. I mean, we're so early on. We continue to hopefully try to put a footprint where we can. We're obviously based in the United States, but we also are overseas. So we do, as you mentioned, ship globally. We are going to do pop-up shops coming up the end of the summer or the U.S. summer in the U.K., followed by a pop-up shop in Australia, in Victoria. And so we're moving. We're getting our footprint out there, and we just want to continue to tell these stories and share what we're doing and have people share with us what they're doing and what their thoughts are and what is affecting them.
Awesome. Could you see yourself one day with a physical retail store, brick and mortar?
I think I hesitate on that one for coming from a retail background. It's not my favorite idea, but I would never say never. I'm not sure what the future holds. We're also testing an airport concept coming up. So I think we have some interesting things coming down the pipeline. I'm not sure if full-time retail is in the cards in the short term, but we're definitely going to continue on the pop-up road and maybe some travel-type retail outlets.
Nice. What tips, advice, I mean, the e-commerce space, fashion space in general is really competitive. The barriers to entry are not too high at all. Every I think, well, I can't say every single female, but, you know, multiple fashion brands are popping up daily. I'm sure you'll start to see more in this space as well.
Yeah.
So it's pretty competitive, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for those growing a fashion brand, a startup, e-commerce brand, so on and so on, what's your advice to them? How do they make it through the noise?
I think first and foremost, it's recognizing that it's multiple touch points. You need to reach your audience where they are. They're not necessarily coming to you because there is a lot of noise. So you need to figure out really what was historically called an omni-channel approach, right? Multiple touch points. It's not just e-commerce. While I say, you know, we're digitally native, the reality is we have to be physically present as well. And we have to be at the events where our consumer is and where our partners are and where our ambassadors are. So it is, the onus is really on the retailer to be where their consumer is, and whether that's online or whether that's in a physical presence or at events or whatever it may be. And understanding that you become a part of their lifestyle. And that means that you're involved really in every aspect. And so it's creating experiences that are not necessarily just traditional fashion or traditional retail. So partnering with, you know, we recently had a partnership with a food blogger, and it was terrific because her audience was similar to our audience, but we created an event that was an experiential event and people loved it. So it's making sure that you have multiple touch points. It's making sure that start within your own community. You know, don't try to tackle the world. Just start within your own community, build a base there, and that foundation will take you wherever you need to go.
Great advice. Awesome to hear. Nancy, it's been an amazing chat. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you joining me. Before I let you go, where can we find you guys online?
Yes, thank you. So curveswithpurpose.com, curveswithpurpose.com. And then Curves with Purpose, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Most every touch point you'll find us, so Curves with Purpose.
Awesome. There you go, people. And they also ship internationally. They're coming to Melbourne. Stay tuned. Yep. Great things ahead for Curves with Purpose. Nancy, thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to the Business Wilderness, the voice of entrepreneurs.